Shalom Aleichem, Chevra, good and Erev, Erev Yontif to all. This is conference call number 91 with Rebbe Shlita. We thank Rebbe to make time this very close to Yontif, and we welcome all the Rabbanim. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. Let's begin right away. Question one, wedding during Corona. Chup and Kiddush were in the daytime. Suda was at night. There were no Sheva Brachas on subsequent days. There was Sheva Brachas at the Suda. A, do we say that due to external factors, Sheva Brachas can be done even months later if the corona subsides? B, if Sheva Brachas can commence at a later date, do we say that since they had Sheva Brachas at the Suda, which was considered the next night, they are considered as if they had at least one set of Sheva Brachas and can no longer fulfill the remaining days of Sheva Brachas? Great question. The simple answer is no, you may not. If there had been no Suda, the Taz and Simon Samach Beis and Evanez and Sifkot and Ches suggests it's possible to postpone the Shiva Shimei Mishta until a later time. The simple read of the Taz is only if it didn't even have one Suda. Even so, the Beis Yosef disagrees with the Taz. Look at Pitzchei Tshuva there, you test. Others disagree with the Taz, and therefore we have to use the principle of Safik Brachos Lahakel, even in a case where there was no Suda, Kavachoma, where there was a Suda. And therefore the second question is moot, about how many days you lose. It's impossible. I had a Machshava, which I do not know if it has any substance, but since the question is such a good question, I'll just throw it out, which is as follows. I almost did a wedding during Corona with only four men present. Two Adim, the cousin, and his father. As it turned out, the wedding was done yesterday with a minion. But because the Kala was very, very careful, she didn't want even a minion at the time, 2 months ago when she was supposed to get married. And now, in retrospect, that would be an interesting question. If it was only a Kiddushin with a chuppah without any Sheva Brachos, we didn't have a minion, then perhaps others might agree with the Taz, potentially. On the grounds that there are cases, the Taz brings the case of someone who's an Avelis with the Sheva Brachos to postpone. You look on the Rambam, quote on the Machaber, if someone, we can't do that today, marries more than one wife, so, you know, Malish was Os, so you have to have 1 week for one wife, 1 week for the next wife of Simcha, and maybe even Sheva Brachos. So, in theory, in that kind of situation, maybe others would agree with the Taz. But for the moment, even if there was no meal, the Taz is a Das Yochid. Most poskim disagree. And Kal Vachomer if there was a meal. Question two. Since the yeshivas are providing fewer services due to this pandemic, can a portion of tuition be considered stucco for masa purposes? The answer is yes. If the person feels that he's giving an extra $5,000 to the yeshiva that they don't really deserve, and he could maybe take him to a dentor and say, you know, I'm paying X thousand per year and you cut out some of the services and I want my money back. And Rav Shechter Shlita said, you should not ask for the money back because the yeshivas will have to thrive in difficult times. But if you think that you have a right to the money, you think you might have won a dentor, then you have a right to count the votes of tzedakah. Remember, Meister Ksafim is not an absolute chiyuv. If it would be, you'd have to first go to a din Torah and win and be mevater to count it for Meiser. But since it's only a minig, if you think that you are in the right, it can be counted as Meiser. Three, what is the proper way to use 9 kavim in place of tefila? A magazine article before Pesach had a psak from Rav Moshe Brandstorfer that one should hunch so he gets as much of the body covered by water, but not so tightly that the water does not reach one's chest. If the shower runs downward, should we be concerned that some places may not get wet? Everyone has their own shower. It seems to me that a regular shower that we have in this country can easily get every single part of your body wet without a problem. Obviously, the faucet has to be high enough to hit your head. Some of these faucets are lower, but the most faucets in America are high enough that the shower comes out more than head high. It can easily touch every single part of your body. Every single bit can get wet. how much is Tisha B'av? I saw the Pisket Shuvas in Siman Peches, footnote 42, thinks in 4 minutes you get easily get Tisha B'av. If you want a little bit more, so, you know, stay another couple of minutes under the shower. I wouldn't worry. That's certainly a proper fulfillment of Tisha B'av. And remember, Tisha B'av is not a requirement either. We pass in that Nikur Adin Takonis Ezra is bottle. Question 4. For those who are making safe minyanim, what would be the best option for Kriya Satorah? Should the Balkori take all the aliyahs without having anyone standing at the bima? If yes, on Shabbos, is there mafter as well, or better to have 7 aliyahs? If the Balkori is getting all the aliyahs, should the Kaddish be said after the Haftorah, like the Ramah in Reish Pei Beis Sifei? Answer all the questions is yes, yes, and yes. The best way is that the Balkori should take all 7 aliyahs. He should get Shvi, which is in mafter. After the Haftorah with all the brachos, then he should say Kaddish. That is the proper way to have aliyahs at the present time. 5. With taking out 2 Sifrei Torah during the week, or on a regular Shabbos, and having the Balkori read from Torah A, while those called up for an aliyah make the bracha of a Torah B, 6 feet away, being the Eitzah for giving aliyahs during social distancing, I've heard about this. In my opinion, it's absolutely not good. The first option is correct, and the second option is not correct. Because if presumably there has to be a connection between the Ola and the Sefer Torah from which is being read. It doesn't make sense to me that an Ola can read from one Sefer Torah and the Balkari is reading, looks at a different Sefer Torah. The point of the Ola having the Sefer Torah in front of him is to read from that Sefer Torah. And in that way, the lumdus is, not for now, but the lumdus is that the Balkari is doing the bidding of the Ola. The Ola looks into the Sefer Torah. He, you know, in the old days would read himself. Today, most people don't know how to read themselves. So the Balkari is their appointee to read from the Sefer Torah, much as in the time of the Gemara, a Metargim would belt out the words of the Amora, who didn't have such a loud voice, or literally the Targum Unklus, which is used to teach the Amcha in the old days. All of it's based on the fact that the same Sefer Torah, which is the basis of what the Ola is seeing, is what the Balkari is seeing. I do not believe it's appropriate to have 2 different Sefer Torah 10 feet away from each other, even though I'm told that some people are doing it. I think the first option is much better. Next. Now that minyanim are starting with limitations on how many can attend due to safe social distancing, how do you choose who is more of a chiyuv to daven with the minyan? The Ovel, the Kohen, the Rav. You have only one Balkari, and he only wants to lane once. It found the state rules we need 3 or 4 out of minyanim. It would be better to have a minyan and not have kriya from a Sefer Torah and have some congregants upset and confused, or just stay home and daven and wait till the full minyan returns. Okay. It's a very loaded question. Let's talk about the last possibility. Stay home. It's presumably safer to stay home than to come to shul even today. And I'm aware, as you know, of the new OU guidelines which came out since our last conference call. And those OU guidelines say we should wait to open until 2 weeks pass after the government allows it. In New York State, the government opened last Thursday, 6 days ago. And so those who found the OU guidelines will not open until 8 days from now, 2 Thursdays later, which I believe is the proper instruction for the OU shuls that plan to either reopen indoors with their shuls or outdoors or a combination thereof. And I believe that if the guidelines which call for distancing and masks are universally observed, and at the present time, in New York State, there's a limit of 10 people. This is a problem, the 10 people. We're fearful that someone who is one of the 10 is going to come anyway, despite his not feeling so well, because he doesn't want to let the people down. There are those who are lobbying the governor to add a number of a few other people. I would say Biki Vega was smarter than the governor. He said 15 people, just to make sure you have 10. And the OU guidelines call for pre-registration, that the 10 people, there should be cohorts, ideally. Cohorts with 10 is very difficult. One person can't come, the whole vineyard falls apart. But cohorts with 15, it certainly is possible, and they should stay with their same cohort, their same group all the time, in case Chas V'Shalom, someone comes out with it, so that cohort closes down and the rest of the shul can stay open. If everyone mixes and matches, perhaps they close the whole shul down if one person is tests positive. So therefore, I believe that that's the best way to do it, and if you do it that way, it can be safe. It seems to me that some rabbonim are not opening because they're fearful that the guidelines will not be maintained. And there's every reason for that fear. From the little I understand from various communities in different places, the guidelines are not being kept. The masks are not being worn. Social distance is not being maintained. The number gets very, very high sometimes. And that's a shame. Because if it's properly enforced, then it's okay. Or Biki Vega had the police enforce it. They're the best enforcers, better than the Gaborim and the Rabbanim that people sometimes ignore. A policeman would be the best form of enforcement. I know that it causes some ill will. We tell someone, I'm sorry, you're not registered, you may not come here. You cannot come here, you have to leave. I was telling my kehillah this morning, and we were davening this morning, it occurred to me, Pesach is Eino Nechal Ela L'Menuyav. You have to pre-register for the Korban Pesach. Just imagine a guy walks in, wants to eat the Korban Pesach. I said, did you register? No. I said, I'm sorry, can't eat. What do you mean? A mitzvah says, the rice, a chilat Korban Pesach. You didn't register. You can't eat. You can't eat. So too. I want to have a mitzvah, of davening b'tzibur, whatever it may happen to be. Sorry, you didn't register. You can't come in. There's a precedent for it in the Torah Kedosha. But as I said, the rules have to be properly made and properly maintained and properly enforced. And that's not to be taken for granted, to say the very least. So therefore, waiting home is certainly advisable. I will tell you what I told my kehillah as well, that I plan to stay home beyond the date of opening because the OU guidelines say that someone who's over 65 should stay home, and I'm over 65. So I plan not to come. Assuming my shul does open next Thursday, I plan to stay at home. And I believe that that should encourage other people who are what they call risk category should follow my example and stay home. But at the same time, there are many individuals from 13 to 65, it's a lot of years, it's 52 years worth of people who want to come and daven, and I believe they should be allowed to come to daven, providing they keep the guidelines. They must keep it. If they don't keep it, my intention in my own community is to shut them down. I know it hasn't really been done elsewhere, but perhaps they are unable to do it elsewhere. I believe I am able to do it here. I hope I won't have to do it, but I certainly will try to do it if I find that people are not keeping the rules. Having said all this by way of introduction, who is the chiyuv? The chiyuv? Well, an avil, we call him a chiyuv in our parlance. Perhaps is an elevated level of obligation. I would say that the most important people to come are the people who come every day in normal times. There are many people, Baruch Hashem, in this world, Ach Shadara, much more than when I was growing up, who come to shul, shakras, mincha, marav, on a daily basis for years. And they have priority because they're the ones who've maintained it throughout in better times. They have their priority. The fact that someone is an avil, so my guess is at least for this year, he's coming shachas mincha marav, and therefore at least for this year, he has that same priority. I believe that the kohen has no greater priority unless it's duchening that day. The rav has no greater priority unless he's going to be able to maintain the rules better than anybody else. Otherwise, there's no priority. I have to just rotate. Everyone gets a turn. I should add that if you're having off-site minyanim, if it's done safely, there's no limit how many people you can come to a minyan. You shouldn't keep anybody out. And that's the plan that I think will happen in our shul if things go well. We'll have off-site minyanim so that there'll be a minyan for everybody who wants to register and come on a regular basis. Okay. Next question, or next part of the question. You have the idea of the Balkare. Is it better to have a minion and not have kiddush from Sefer Torah? Or stay home? So stay home may be better for safety reasons, that I can see. But for this reason, this is makes no halachic sense to me. In other words, the Balkare is going to be lame once. So they're going to be more than one minion, three or four minyanim. So what should we say? Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim? If they all can't have it, so nobody can have it. That's not a halachic way to think. The Balkare will alternate. There are four minyanim. Every once a month you'll get Bekriyas HaTorah. Because you'll get it. It'll just go around and around and around. It's a sad observation that a minion of 40 people, only one person knows how to lane. You know, it wasn't always that way. Laning was considered to be more of an important role to take in years gone by, and people had at least some familiarity so they could bone up and have, you know, a week to prepare. They would be able to lane. I would think that we should have at least one person out of every 10 knows how to lane. I found that it's not true. And once in a while, I ended up in coming back from the airport. You walk into a shtiebel somewhere, and it's a Monday or Thursday. Does anyone know how to lane? No one raised their hand. It's Monday and Thursday. So I had to go up myself and lane. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a real Balkari. I have other better Balkaris in my shul. But for my youth, I still remember Mondays and Thursdays. You had to know how to lane. Most of my children, you can just go up to any parsha and lane Monday and Thursday. Some have laned enough in the youth that they're laning any parsha. Baruch Hashem, one of my sons is laning all the parshas on a porch minion in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's the safe way to do it. But, you know, he knows enough of it, even though I don't think he's been to Balkari regularly all these years. But he's good enough, and he has enough of a basic background in Kriyas HaTorah that he prepares and he lanes. It's a shame that there's only one person of 40 that knows how to lane. A comment on the world in which we live. 7. Should the bracha of HaTovah made to be made with the first minion post-Corona? No, it's not a Tovah Metiv. Maybe you should say Dianemis, so many people have passed away. I told them because you survived. I don't think that's appropriate either. A person who had corona and survived, she spends goimel. That's the appropriate bracha. 8. One can skip Sukkah and Dezimra to make tefillah b'tzibur. May, can, should one skip after Shmona Esrei to keep up with the tzibur? If yes, what would be skipped Monday, Thursday, and other weekdays? Nothing. The most important part of tefillah b'tzibur is tefillah b'tzibur, for which reason you may skip. Whatever else is happening afterwards, you shouldn't skip. You take your time and go in order. If you lag behind, you lag behind. I don't see any reason to skip after Shmon Efsi is done. 9. And Yom Tov, being that one person cannot get two aliyahs and two Sefer Torah, should be allowed for a different ola for mafter. One has to first explain to me why a person cannot get two aliyahs and two Sefer Torah. That's not an obvious assumption. So therefore, I cannot really answer this question until someone explains to me. You can call me up or email me, text me, why a person cannot get two aliyahs and two Sefer Torah. And then we can try to figure out, can you get a different ola for mafter? The short answer to that question is, it depends on the circumstances. If it's a porch minion, no one's allowed to go in. The answer is no. If it's a shul minion or a table minion, one of my sons has a table minion in the street. I was just privileged to see a nephew named a baby on a table minion in the street. He laned all three aliyahs on a weekday. Then someone else can go over to the Sefer Torah and get mafter and say the haftorah. That's not a problem. But I'm still not aware of the original assumption of the question. 10. To make tefillah b'tzibur, one is allowed to be medallic parts of Sukkah d'Zimra. If one is davening to Yechidus and suspects he may miss Nates, may they also skip the same parts of Zimra? The answer is yes. Nates is certainly a lechatchila, and therefore you should do it and make it up. I've been davening Nates, and a couple of days I was a little bit late, so I skipped, and I made it up later on. Even though you may normally not make it up if you're in shul, but when you're home, there's plenty of time to make things up. 11. If one is enforcing social distancing in a minion, say 8 feet, on Shabbos, may you use a tape measure the length of the distancing? You are not looking at the tape with the overall length. You are not maksidash from the tape measure before Shabbos. Is there a maris iron issue involved? I do not see why they cannot stake out the proper places before Shabbos. Put a piece of tape there or some other system that should be there straight through. These seats are 8-10 feet apart and keep that distance. But to answer the original question, it's mutter. Look on Siman Shin Vav Siv Zayin. It's called Medida Shel Mitzvah. It's a Medida to keep people safe, which is the greatest mitzvah of all. Or the Torah Chola. Both are permissible, even though Medida itself is a piece of the Rabbanan. They will matter it for the purpose of a mitzvah or a chola. It's irrelevant whether you're looking at the tape, the overall length. I don't think that applies in this case. This really is a Medida. You know, you want it exactly to be that many feet away based upon the guidelines. And it's not a mukzishul that I agree. I don't think it's marasayin. On the contrary, I would love for people to see that someone is doing it right and someone is measuring on Shabbos to keep people 8 feet away. It's a marasayin in the positive, not in the negative. 12. Organizations have come out with guidelines for returning to shul. Many of us rabbanim are following them. I have a congregant who is not yet comfortable returning to a minyan, whether it's outdoors or indoors. He would like to know that when the minyanim are up and running and he does not attend, does he get an avera for davening b'yechidus? In essence, must he be compelled to daven with the minyan despite his concern about getting virus? Chas v'shalom, to compel someone who is concerned about a virus to come to daven? That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. We all know that comes to pikuach nevesh, there is the measure of subjectivity built in. It's the very beginning of the footnotes in Shmir Shabbos Kachos the Perek Lamed Beis about pikuach nevesh. What people think plays a role. What a particular person thinks plays a role. This fellow feels not safe. He should stay home as long as he feels not safe, at least until Rosh Hashanah. By that time, I hope everything is going to be safe. But he should just stay home. If he's not safe until Rosh Hashanah, he should simply stay home. That's a mitzvah, doing the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem says, if you feel it's dangerous to come to shul, stay home. It's very important for people to realize that. If they are compromised in any which way, if it's dangerous, stay home. Now, it is true, I said it before, if all the guidelines are kept completely, then according to my doctors, it's not dangerous even in the heyday of the pandemic. It's just not dangerous if you're that far away and you're wearing a mask. But nonetheless, people are afraid anyway, and people are afraid the guidelines will not be kept. Someone will come too close or take off the mask or won't come with the mask and it won't be enforced. That's a legitimate fear. Someone has that fear should certainly stay home. And frankly, if someone comes to them and they don't keep the guidelines, should also stay home. And we should try to only frequent minyanim, whether in or out, on shul property or private property or other alternate sites. You should only attend if you see that the guidelines are being kept, and you should make a point of it. If you're not keeping the guidelines, I cannot come back. Sorry, I just can't do it. I don't think it's safe. So therefore, chas v'shalom to force or compel someone to come to shul, chalila v'chas. Oh, no. He is not avera for Dav Michidus. It's a mitzvah of Dav Michidus. He's keeping himself healthy in his estimation. It's a mitzvah of Dav Michidus in such circumstances. Next. Is there an issue of making the bracha of Bar Yibsamim to not have a sense of smell? You may not make this a bracha. It's a bracha levatala. You may not do so. Therefore, make sure you can smell well before you make such a bracha. Next. At what viscosity do liquids become usher to pump squeeze on Shabbos? Does antibacterial soap have to be watered down? Is any flow of liquid where, in theory, you can pour out the liquid, albeit it may take some time, okay, and the pump squeeze just speeds it up? This is an interesting question. If I'm not mistaken, in Kasher's current of Rav Heinemann Shlita in Baltimore some years back, they gave an exact measure of viscosity, the word you used, to determine whether a particular soap or whatever else is permissible or not, assuming that we are following the minhag of the Ramah, that we are worried about either nolad or molad when there's a change of state. I believe under present circumstances, we have a right to be makil as long as it pours, no matter how slowly it pours, even if it doesn't pass the viscosity guideline of normal years. We're living in difficult times, and some think the whole issue doesn't apply to begin with, and some say as long as it pours, even if it's more viscous, it's still okay. And the Shas of Chak, such as this year, I think it's all right. Next question. At what age should girls no longer daven with their fathers in the men's section? B, does it make any difference if the girl is afraid to sit in the women's section by herself? C, is there any, quote, inyan of chinuch, take girls to shul for davening? All three are good questions. I'm assuming it's nothing to do with corona. It's a general question. At what age? It depends on the shul. It depends on the shul. In the shtibul that I grew up in, you were more than 3 years old. They were upset when the girls would walk in. Three. That's a halachic age. We know that it's a Gemara in a few places. So they upset that she's 3 years old. She should not be kind with the father. Let her stay home and go into the ladies' section. Other shuls take the other extreme. I think they go up until 11. Past 11 makes no sense. 11 is already on the cusp of bas mitzvah, both physically and halachically, and therefore that would be the cutoff, absolute cutoff, I would say is 11. If you had to ask me what the average shul, I would say it's the midpoint, about 7 years old, halfway between 3 and 11 is 7, and that's approximately the age under 7, I think it's accepted in many communities, and beyond 7, not, obviously it's an approximation. Different shuls may have different approximations, but that's the age that I would report on as what's being done in places that I've frequented. She's afraid to sit in the women's section by herself. You know, if she's overage, whatever the age may be, she's over 11, according to everybody. She's over 7 in the average shul, over 3 in the shtibul kind of shul. Once she's past that age, she has to either stay home or go stay in the women's section by herself. We don't want to go against the rules of the shul, or the explicit or implicit, in terms of the seating of the shul. And therefore, if she's afraid, next week she should stay home. Inyan of chinuch, they go to shul for, of course it's an inyan. An inyan is a beautiful word to use, especially in quotation marks. An inyan means something which is good. It's good if the young lady will read from the sitter and stay in shul and understand and appreciate what's happening in the shul while she is there. It will stay with her for her whole life. Then it should be done. But if the young lady is like some of her male siblings running around like wild hyenas, then it's better they should stay home. Should not come to shul. That's not called chinuch. Mr. Brewer says, if chinuch is if it's a good chinuch or it's a bad chinuch, it's much better off staying home. And so every case, every child, every situation is different. 16. If a shul has no duchen, raised platform in front of the aron, do I need to put down a tablecloth or a piece of plastic cardboard for the kohen to stand on so they are, quote, raised up? The answer is no. Many yeshivas have nothing, just a plain flat surface. They duchen on a flat surface. There's nothing wrong with putting something down, maybe a little rug to make the feet more comfortable. It shouldn't feel so cold. Whatever it may be, it's not an absolute requirement. However, if it's done, it's certainly a good idea. Next, excuse me, 17. While duchening, should a kohen have his hands together when creating a triangle of sorts between his two hands, or just hold them up at shoulder height, outstretched in front of him, but not together? You look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chav Ches Tif Yud Beis. It says you make chalonos, there are 5 chalonos, and if you do the calculation, the middle chalon, the 3, is between the 2 thumbs. The thumbs are held literally next to each other, even touching each other. So you have 5 holes between the first and second of the right, and between the first, second, and fourth and fifth of the right. Then between number 2 and number 1, between the second finger, call it the pointer, and the thumb, is another gap. Then from one thumb to another, right to left is another gap. And 2 more on the left side. That's the proper way according to the Mechaber, and that's what I think should be done. It is true that Piskei Tshuvos quotes, this is called Lamed Ches, a Zohar, it's a whole different way of doing things, and they say that that there should be separately, nothing's next to each other. I'm not an expert in Zohar, but I think we should try to follow the Shulchan Aruch. I think that's what's done usually. 18. Regarding Shabbos makeup, which is made out of some kind of powder and lasts for a short while, Is it concern of Maris Ayin, or that someone will use the product but not follow the instructions and potentially be Mechal Shabbos? I have to be honest with you, I have yet to find a proper product. Talmidim gave me various kinds of what they call Shabbos makeup. It all stayed on for a very long time. I think it stayed on even for 24 hours, which is certainly a cutoff point. At least some of them. I can't vouch for every single brand. I don't think this is a very good idea, this Shabbos makeup in the first place. It's more likely to cause Chil Shabbos than to cause Onik Shabbos. You should try to stay away. Whatever makeup you have, put it on before Shabbos and hope it lasts. There's a certain kind of lipsticks until it lasts for 24 hours, and maybe certain kind of makeups as well will last longer. I'm not ready to give any haskama to any Shabbos makeup. Okay, 19. If the fire on my stove blows out on Shabbos Yontov and gas is coming out, can I shut off the gas? Do I need to do the shinui? Is it better to ask a young child below chinuch to turn it off? Great question. If it's dangerous, you must shut off the gas. It's a bad smell, which indicates that there's something coming out which could erupt into a fire. Chas v'shalom, if there's a spark there, and therefore it should be shut off. It should be done with a shinui, because we always do things which are suffix sakana. We try to do a shinui. This is maybe even a remote suffix of sakana. It depends to ask a young child or the chinuch to turn off. Well, it depends. He's better than adults doing it without a shinui, but I believe a shinui is better. Shinui knocks it down to a derabbanan, and even though it's a problem of giving our children to do malacha for us, here the malacha is for him as well. So look at the siman shin mem gimel, the bir halacha. You can't ask him to bring out something into the area, but he's bringing it for himself and for you, such as a sitter. He'll read from the sitter as well. There's room to be lenient. He called it from Chaim Kanevsky, that if someone was mashing some fruits, and it was partly for the child's fault, the child didn't realize it's not nikar, it's a problem. As he's quoted in the Dirsha there, footnote 34. Okay, that's a possibility. I'm not sure that's correct. In every circumstance, it's a little bit different. The answer, again, in brief, should be done with a shinoi. It's better you should do with the shinoi than give it to a child to do it regular. And child does it with the shinui, it's even the best if he's able to do it. This is the answer to this question. They want to open a fire on Yadav if it went out based on Machshiri Ochel Nefesh Yevshal Asosu Vodyom. That's a term of art in the Sugis of Gemara Masechta after Beta, primarily. I do not believe these are Machshiri. Doesn't mean some of them our minds think whatever is... The Rabbanon is not considered to be, is considered to be somehow, you know, fair game for this rule. And just no. If it's Makshirin, it can be moved to even a level of the right service. Art is as good as Makshirin. But Makshirin, according to Hashem, only applies to the fundamental malachas to lead to the Bishul. Here, it's based upon Bishul, but opening a fire, turning off a fire, these are separate and distinct from the bishul proper. And the nature of the surim are kavua. These are molded is kavua. They never made an exception for makshirin. Makshirin works for malachas, ironically, which are deraisa, not over here, which is presumably the rabbanan, but that's the nature of makshirin. And then the next question, similar. The Mogan Saragoto, when there's no Akum, they would allow on Yom Tov for lights and electrical appliances to be turned on because of the told Shutra Avrola Tzorach Ochal Nevesh Shut Shalot Ochal. People are big time in the Chachamim here. If yes, may one turn them off, being that it's not Shayach Lakzer of Osef Pechamim. Woo! Real time with Chachamim over here. The answer is like this. The answer is that lights, electric lights, if it's an Easter of Molid, as I said before, maybe an Easter of Bona, Makab, and Patish, and even though these are all the Rabbanans, presumably, Chazal did not extend their dispensation of Makshirin past the fundamental Malachas. And some of these things are not too remote, too disconnected from Bishul to qualify. He's a molid. I don't think qualifies at all. The electrical appliances, whatever is there, they are there. I don't think it applies there either. So therefore, it should not be done. 22. A woman is standing during labor on colored or less than a gris. Would that render her neither? No, because she's in labor. One side. If yes, at what point the labor, we say this, if the contractions end up stopping, would it then change? Well, you know, it is true that the Gemara gives us three estimates or signs when you reach a certain level of Rhea versus a... One second, I'm going to get the question straighter. Versus the Kesem. Less than the Gris, we're Mater Kesem. Colored, we're Mater Kesem. That would apply, I believe, even during labor. As long as the simonim of labor have not gotten to be so extreme that they in themselves might render her a anida. For example, the post, I mean, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, if she's such an advanced stage that they tell her to push, or spread up the carrier, or she saw uterine blood, then she's a needle automatically, with or without these contractions. Doesn't make a difference, really. And doesn't matter whether it's a gris, less than a gris. You have these signs that itself makes you into a needle, I believe. And you have to ask a shayla, because sometimes the blood could be 10 days early. This little mucus plug streak, which does not make you into an Ida. And for that reason, among others, a little kesem, a kesem less than the grits or colored garments would not make her an Ida, notwithstanding the fact that she is in labor. And again, at the three points I mentioned, she's an Ida even without these, this, because she's presumably already, it's called that the rechem opened already, is how I'll put it. And if they stop, that's an interesting question. Some want to say, if it stops, it's the Lord Muslim Afreya, that it was not the right time. In other words, if it reached a certain point, this indicates that the later is coming and the simmer disappears, we say it's still coming. But there could be cases where there's nothing, just everything stopped, and we wouldn't want to be machmen in such a case. So again, we're not only Hilchos Nida now, but these questions are, in each particular case, probably should ask a Rav, because it didn't can change it with a small little detail. 23. A woman was having difficulty coming to her. Rav told her to wear color. Kivega suggests that in some cases. And do bedigas yom rishon shvi. Now she's staying on the seventh day. Can we be somech on Aruch HaShulchan? A bedigas or mission was enough. If yes, can she be mishamish? You have to read the Aruch HaShulchan more carefully. Aruch HaShulchan is found in Siman Kuf Tzadivav Sif Chavov. He says, no, we're referring to a case where she has wounds, and the wounds are going to lead to bleeding. So why should we tell her to do a bedigas when she has to be matter anyway, based upon wounds? Just say, don't do it. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan said. Not in this kind of a case. She has no wounds. She's just trying to avoid becoming a nida. I do not believe the Aruch HaShulchan's dispensation applies in this particular case. As a side point, I think 1 and 7 is a bad idea, because precisely such a reason, the person can be delayed or forget, and one could be staining. So in all of these cases, if you don't check on the 7th day, quote, that is simple read of the Mechaber, Ein Lahakel, you have to start from the very beginning, which is not good for the Shalom Bayis, if anybody. So therefore, when people tell me they can't do something with Dikas every day, I tell them, okay, do one more day in the middle, and then 7. I would pick 4. 1, 4, and 7. That's it's symmetrical. That would be the good day to do a Bidik if it's possible. And this way, in case you forget day 7, so the Dovah Mirabava says, you can count 1, 4, and 8. Count. Same thing would apply to someone who is experiencing stain. Just don't do bedikah that day. You're allowed to skip a day. But if it's day 7, if you skip it, according to the simple read, start all over again. So therefore, having this problem to be avoided if one can do that. If one can do that. Okay. Let's go a little bit further. As I said before, I may explain myself. We pass in halacha that, for example, 1, 4, and 8 is valid. Even though there's no 2, 7, there's no 1, 7, it doesn't matter. The 4 is enough to be mitzaref, the 1 with the 8. When you pass like the dog of Ravava, you're there, Kuf Sarivav. We say that as long as not more than 5 days intervene between the bedikas, it's good enough. Right? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's the maximum. Once you go past that, it's no good. But here, if you do a bedika, let's say on day 4, you're buying time. Any bedika 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 would do the trick. And that's what should be done if you have to be mad bedikas. Next, last call, stepchildren and avelis. One carry of stepchildren that was not mentioned are adopted children from birth. Literally a few days after being born. The only parents they will know are those adopted parents. Do they have a chiyum and avelis? They have the same rights to the yamas. The answer is no and no. As much as they have this feeling of connection. And I think avelis is often observed, and I'm not criticizing it. It would not be a bal tashchis of either property or time or anything else to observe such a shiva, because the person feels very close to that individual. They took him from nothing. And it's okay. It's not an obligation. Rights to the yamas is not so simple, because if someone has their obligation, that's the expression we use, we mentioned earlier. Who's a chiyuv here? Who's a chiyuv? You really can't say you're a total chiyuv because it's only a volunteer. You didn't have to do to sit shiva, the farish and the ramah. So therefore, I would say there's a bit of a higher level of chiyuv for someone who was literally an avelis as opposed to someone who wants to take it on himself. Okay, the final question. Maybe the hardest of them all. What should be the quote position of the Rav be on the board, if any? Should he be the chairman CNO of the board, or should he be on the religious committee, or is it better for the Rav to not be on the board at all? Should he attend the meetings? What about general membership meetings? Maybe the superintendents will stifle people from expressing what they want or need. A good question. Look, every shul is different. Every Rav is different. I can only tell you in my shul, we don't have a religious committee. There's a committee of one. That's the Rav. I think that's what it's supposed to be. The Rav is brought in as the religious committee. Why should he listen to people who are not as scholarly as he is, not as advanced as he is, and all the proper characteristics that you have to answer the questions? So, you know, it seems to me that the religious committee should not exist. Shouldn't exist. I don't know. When I grew up, I never heard of too much of religious committees. Maybe the people who want to take over the decisions of halacha. Or maybe if they want, it's more benign, they want to bring the questions to the Rav. Then if such a committee exists, but by definition, they shouldn't be on it. Let them deliberate themselves and then bring it to the Rav. So, again, in my view, they shouldn't exist. If they exist, the Rav should stay home and wait for the committee to come to his house and discuss the questions that have to be decided in terms of how we are going to run the shul. That's a religious committee. Now, the board of trustees of the shul, our shul has a board of trustees. I've never been at one of those meetings either. What about general membership? Never been at those either. You know, maybe I ended up in shul when the meeting started. I said a word, but I don't go to these meetings. These meetings are all very important. They should be safe and they should be well. But the Rav does not belong there. If his presence will stifle people, that's true. They also may encourage people to say the right thing. But either way, the Rav does not belong there. He belongs in his home, learning Torah and doing chesed. That's where he belongs, in my opinion. And my Balabata know very well. As I told him on my very first interview, there was only one interview with five people before I got the call to a prava, and I said at the very beginning, the role of the Rav is to decide all halachic matters pertaining to the shul as such. I can't force someone to listen to my psak in his kitchen, or anything else. But if it's related to the shul, it's the Rav's responsibility. And the Rav also decides, was tipped off by one of my colleagues to say at the first meeting, what is a halachic decision? Otherwise, I run circles. Rabbi, it's not a halachic decision. I often quote that as soon as I got to the shul, I was tested. They wanted to raise a few dollars for the shul as a budget shortfall. We'll sponsor bingo. I'll be someplace down further away, and we ought to put our name on it. We'll get the profits when other people are going to come in and bet on bingo and lose. I said, absolutely not. We do not want to be associated with bingo. They said, what do you mean? I said, I decide what's a halachic issue. And the same is true of opening and closing the shul in the coronavirus. I closed the shul. I didn't ask the board, the president, and I asked nobody. The doctor said, close. I closed. Finished. Done. Closed. I told all the balabatim, we're trying to figure out how to open. That you need, obviously, a little of input. We hope people will comply with the rules. But I said, when to open? I will take input from anybody. That has to be the Rav's decision. I used the melitza of Chazal. Ha-pesha asu, ha-pesha hiter. We lock the door. We're going to open the door. When it'll happen, I cannot tell you. Things are changing by the day. But it's important that a Rav should understand what his responsibilities are. I'm fully aware of the fact that some shul doesn't work that way. Okay. If Rav has no choice. He has to go to board meetings. He has to go to membership meetings. And he needs a religious, has to have a religious committee. You have to deal with it. And I have full sympathy. I would give full encouragement if someone has a problem. I would be happy to help to consult with him if he needs some help in dealing with these kinds of entities, which perhaps better they shouldn't exist, but they do exist. You have to deal with them properly. I want to wish everybody a Chag of Kabbalah, Satora, B'Simcha, and as we said on Pesach, a Chag Bari, B'Sameach.
Rebbe, thank you very much. I want to thank all the Rabbanim for being on the call. Bezrat Hashem, we can hopefully call upon Rebbe again after Yontif. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care.